Hello, everybody, and welcome to Adjusted. Today is our season wrap-up for season 5. So I'm excited to have a large group here with me today. I'm, of course, coming from Berkeley Industrial Comp and Sweet Home, Alabama. And I have all my co-hosts with me today that were on our journey this go-around. So I thought we'd start by just doing a little roll call and have maybe each of you, again, remind people who you are, what company you're with, and where you're at in the country. Maybe start with Mike.
Thanks, Greg. Mike Gilmartin. I am with Key Risk, and I am sitting in, it's not very sunny, but it's warm, Greensboro, North Carolina. And I'm ready for summer already to be over, Greg.
I know. We're in the hot season here in Alabama.
Not good. Where,
yeah, going outside is not one of the things you want to do. So unless you're at the pool. Even then, like, our pool's getting to be like bath water. It's so hot. So fun parts of the South.
It's flop sweat season, buddy.
That's exactly it. All right. Next up, Matt, you want to introduce yourself?
Hello, everyone. This is Matthew Yaling. I'm with Midwest Employers Casualty. I'm in St. Louis, Missouri, along the banks of the mighty Mississippi. I'm never ready for summer to be over. I'm ready for the kids to go back to school, but not for summer to be over.
I am so there on the kids part, Matt. With 6 kids, like, the summer is a special version of that I wouldn't wish on anyone. They're wonderful children, but when they're all 6 of them, it's a lot.
I miss the routine yeah. of the school day. You know, summer, there's less routine.
We've just had them going every direction. I think my wife was up at 4 in the morning to, you know, take my son to, you know, some camp that he was going to. And, you know, of course, my one son's got football camp and all the stuff and things when you have this many kids and we're getting ready for one to go to college. So busy. Next up, we have Suzanne. This was Suzanne's first season doing one with us. Suzanne, you want to introduce yourself again for everybody?
Absolutely. I'm Suzanne McAuliffe. I am the Vice President of Claims with Key Risk. Today, I am located in High Point, North Carolina, just down the street from Mike Gilmartin.
Yeah, that's a fun office. For those who haven't been there, you know, if you've got a good reason to visit Key Risk, that's a fun place to be. Their office is right over a minor league ballpark. So if you are there this time of year, I'm assuming there's some games going on.
There is. Actually, there's some, I think they're from high school, but they're younger kids out there playing today.
That's awesome. Well, glad to have you with us. And then next up is Sam.
Howdy, everybody. Sam Neer. Here, I'm the technology and IT side at Berkeley Alternative Markets Tech, and I'm located along with the North Carolina crew outside of Raleigh, North Carolina. So again, a little bit overcast here, no minor league ballparks next to amazing offices, but I have been to the Key Risk office, and I would agree that a great view and very good ballpark hot dogs, which is any good staple of any good baseball stadium. So highly recommend, 10 out of 10.
Why else do you go, right, Sam? If you're not going to get a ballpark hot dog.
Yeah. Why waste like 5 hours? No, I'm not a baseball person myself, but that's why I go for the food, and the food was on point. So I will say that.
Yeah. When I lived in Cincinnati, I went to a lot of Reds games, and I'm not a huge baseball guy, but I like going to the game and being outside and, you know, eat all the parts that go with that. So next up, we've got Luella.
Hi, everybody. Luella Alcorn, Business Operations Manager at Berkeley Industrial Comp in Lexington, Kentucky. And we've got horses on all y'all.
Yeah, they do. There are lots of horses in
there
Kentucky.
Are.
So
beautiful.
I work for the State Farm for a period of time there in Kentucky. I have been to a lot of those horse farms and they're beautiful. So if it's bourbon and horses, if you're in Kentucky, those are the things you got to see.
That's right.
Awesome. Well, one other person that's in the background that I always want to give credit to, and this is the one time we get a chance to do that, is Jacob Holmes. So, Jacob, I would like you to introduce yourself a little bit and just say hello to everybody.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks, Greg. So I'm Jacob Holmes. I am with Berkeley Industrial. I'm actually an associate resolution specialist, and I moonlight as the editor of the podcast. And I'm out of our Birmingham, Alabama office.
I'm glad that we have Jacob. I don't know how we would do it without him. So everybody always listens to these episodes and they sound so seamlessly beautiful, but I promise you there are plenty of bloopers that that never make it out there. And Jacob has found ways to eliminate fire trucks going in the background, gaffes that people have said, all kinds of things. That one time I had the blue screen of death this season where literally in the middle of the podcast, my screen went blue and everything went out. And I don't think anybody could even tell. So definitely kudos to Jacob. So,
and I got to say with that one, Sam did a great job of smoothing that over. If it wasn't for Sam Near, it would have been a lot more obvious.
Oh, you know what? It was like, again, it's funny that the blue screen had to happen when the IT and tech guy was on the podcast. It was inevitable that way. So
that was crazy. That was like one of the ones, like, you were going to do a topic on technology and my technology is going to fail in the middle of this thing. So, but
required.
Thanks to Jacob and Sam, we didn't have to re-record. We were able to salvage it. So again, he doesn't always get all of the limelight, but Jacob is fantastic and does a very nice job editing ours. And it's not his primary job. He's an associate claims adjuster. So really cool that our company allows people to kind of get into different lanes and try new things. And he's done a great job at that. So I wanted to start by just talking about folks' experience hosting. I thought I would start with some of the people who were, maybe this was their first time doing this. And then, you know, Mike and Matt, who have done a zillion of these with me, maybe just their takeaway. So I thought I would start with you, Sam. This is your first time. Well, first you were a guest, and then we had you co-host. So you switch seats. What was that experience like for you?
I would have to say, Greg, and this is my first entry into podcast land. Again, I've tried to tell my wife if this technology thing doesn't work out. It's going to be harder to go into podcasting than I thought, but it's really fun and engaging to talk about these subjects that we're all passionate about here at Berkeley, regardless of whether you're at an operating unit or whether you're on the technology side. It was a fun experience both to think back, because we're all going 1,000 miles per hour, about, you know, what's really important, what's strategic. And so that was from the great conversation we had on the technology side. And then co-hosting, it's really, again, we had a very great session with Emma, and again, just for the group that was in a roll-off, and talking about digital transformation and how you pick partners and everything in between. It really gets you thinking, and you take that back, and, you know, then I start whiteboarding and sticky noting and really thinking about how you can take that to the next level. So it was wonderful to be a guest and even more honored to be a host. So again, got to work on slowing down the conversation. And again, hearing yourself after the fact on Spotify is you're like, oh my gosh, do I really sound like that? But I persevered and my wife said I did okay. So that was the key marker of it. So really enjoyed the experience.
I agree, Sam, with you on, I think one of the things I've enjoyed over the last couple of years since we started this is how many new things I've learned. And how just going through the process of talking to somebody and doing an episode has really forced me to think outside the box and push in some directions that I probably wouldn't have gotten to just because I'm busy. And so definitely agree with you on that. Like afterwards, my wheels turn a lot on some of the topics that we've had. So Suzanne, this was your first go around doing an episode. What was it like for you? What was maybe harder than you thought or more fun than you thought? Or what were some of your takeaways?
Well, it was a great experience, a lot of fun. It was challenging. It was outside of what I typically do on a day-to-day basis, but it was great. Our guest speaker, Stephanie with Hi Marley, was absolutely fantastic, really engaging, had a lot of great information, but it was a fun experience. It was, again, it was a little bit out of my norm, but overall it was fun. And you were a wonderful and very gracious co-host with me. So it made it easy.
Yeah, it is. It is, you know, people, when you listen to it, you're thinking, well, how does it all work? But it is harder than it sometimes looks because especially when you're co-hosting, we're not in the same physical locations. So when we're asking questions and going back and forth between topics, you want to give time to ask follow-up questions and you don't want to interrupt the other person. And at the same time, you're doing it virtually. So it is a little bit like playing ping pong, but virtual. And that can be a little tricky, but I feel like all you guys do a great job at that. So I guess that would take me to you, Mike. You've done this quite a bit now. Takeaways from season 5 as far as your experience hosting?
No, I thought it was good. I mean, I always have fun doing them. I think at this point, you're doing a really good job of picking the guests. And it, you know, first couple of seasons, there were a few guests you would get where we would have to probably carry the conversation a little more or redirect the conversation. And so I know at least for one of mine, continuing education, we had the same gentleman back who's awesome. And it just it makes it almost just like an easy conversation. Also, my wife and daughter tell me they listen to the podcast. And now every time there's a voice in the radio, my daughter asks if it's me. And I'm like, you don't know what my voice sounds like, or are you just asking who that is? And so I don't know that they really listen, but you know, they tell me they do. So I'm getting famous in my own family, Greg.
That's funny. My mother-in-law listened to the episode we did on listening. So she was like, I want to hear more about that, and said she really enjoyed it. So it's fun sometimes when one of them crosses over into a field that might not be only work comp. So Matt, on your end, you were actually on that one with listening, but just in general, you've done a few of these. I think you're doing your own podcast, or you at least have done a few episodes of your own. What's it like and what's the differences?
I've really enjoyed it. I think I mentioned the same thing at the wrap-up session last year was, you know, that when you're doing it yourself, it's, you know, you don't realize all the behind the scenes work and the production and identifying people and then like calming people down. You know, the guests sometimes, if they've never done an interview or a podcast, they get really nervous about it. So as Mike indicated, I think the guest and the co-host have done a great job this season with just kind of seemingly natural interviews. Sometimes the ums and the ahs, I do like those. And, you know, Jacob does a great job behind the scenes, you know, making us sound intelligent and cleaning us up a little bit. But, you know, it's been a good experience. You know, I think every year gets a little better, and I look forward, you know, I thought there was a lot of great interviews. I do go back and listen to all the other interviews, and I think there's been a lot of learning opportunities, a lot of insights into different aspects of work comp. We covered a lot of different topics and hit some new things this year. And like you said, talked about the listening podcast, totally different, but I think a component of the industry that we all need to be aware of. So for me, I always really enjoy these. It's kind of weird, but I get a lot out of it too.
Yeah. And, you know, you started our episodes out there with claims investigation, Matt. And this is one on the claim side that I feel like is really important. And we haven't spent a lot of time in the seasons past talking about it. And I thought this was really good. We actually went and spoke to one of our senior adjusters to have them give their views on claims investigation. Matt, what stood out to you in that episode?
Yeah, and this was one where I kind of gave it, I think I gave a disclaimer at the beginning saying, hey, you know, what we say is, you know, advice, or it's, you know, it's not meant to be advice. It's, you know, really kind of take what you will out of these things. But I mean, investigation of a claim is such a critical piece. There's a lot of things that go into it. We've touched on this a little bit in other episodes, but, you know, claims investigation, you know, there's 50 different jurisdictions that we operate in, you know, with 50 different components of investigation and what makes it compensable and what makes it, you know, coverage accepted. And, you know, you have to kind of define like the coverage piece and the compensability piece and, you know, make sure you're operating within both of those things. And then just all the different components of, you know, the importance and significance of a recorded statement and nailing down the facts at the beginning of the claim and how critical that can be, you know. And I work in the excess world. So the investigation that you're doing, you know, today may matter 15 years into the future, because, you know, have these excess work comp claims, or just work comp claims in general, have a long tail and can be critical. So that the significance of that investigation is a critical piece to the claim. And I think we did a great job kind of highlighting some of that and just some of the different jurisdictional pieces with it. And I think it was Carol, right? Carol Beerwagon.
It was.
So that she did a nice job. And she was one of those, she was a little nervous on the get-go, and we did a little pre, you know, conversation and calmed her down, and she did a great job, you know, doing it. And I think by the end she had really loosened up, and you know, I thought the podcast went really well with that one.
Yeah, I agree. It is the challenge with investigation is that there's so many statutes that are different from state to state. And so you could be in one state and something is really important, in another state it doesn't matter at all. But I think just hitting those highlights is really important. And you're right. Like once you get down the road 2 or 3 years, there's no way to go back in time and get that information. And it can make a huge difference in where the claim ends up ultimately. So that was a good one to tackle. And that took us into our next one. And Matt was co-hosting with me on this one with Sam. Sam was actually our guest. So this was kind of a fun one because all three of us were on it. And then Sam would later co-host with me on an episode. But I thought I'd actually, since Sam's here with us, what was it like being on the other side, Sam?
I will say is like, again, it's fun both being the interviewer and the interviewee. I think from like different skill sets and trying to think about different perspectives, right? Because again, while you're interviewing someone, you're trying to ask the right questions for the broader audience. But when you're interviewing, how do you make this actionable, right? So many times you'll hear people pontificate or just ramble, but what are some clear takeaways for the listeners to be able to actually act on this information? Because in reality, we're listening to this to grow our skill sets. And like we said, like you said, Greg, with a lot of takeaways is think about how this can affect change in our organization. So again, an avid listener of Adjusted Now, I listen to the episodes and come back with every single time action items. I've sent it to my team and saying, not just to listen to me. I say, hey, listen to every episode but mine, because you don't want to hear my grating voice. But I do believe that both sides of this coin is great in thinking about how you really affect change within your team, regardless of whether it's directly applicable, especially technology. Everything that's discussed touches me in some way. So love getting all of that great information.
Yeah, I would agree with Sam. Like, I think that technology is an important piece because, you know, work comp, not a lot of things change. You know, I've been doing this for over 20 years and not a lot of things change, but I think we're going to be seeing a significant wave of change. And we tried to address some of that and lining up change things in how we address that with our staff and with ourselves and being, you know, open and ready for that kind of stuff to impact the industry. So I thought that was a great episode. Sam did a great job. We were joking earlier about the blue screen of death that you received, and Jacob, Sam, and I were just looking at each other like, well, let's just keep going and he'll dial back in. And, and like you said, like, I think we referenced it during the podcast and maybe at the end or something, we'd mentioned that, you know, that happened and thought it went, you know, I went back and I don't think there was really any interruption that was identifiable, but it was a great episode. You know, if you're going to go back and listen to one, that's a great one to go back to.
And my takeaway from that episode, Greg, which I really appreciate, again, it was a great conversation all around, but I think when we really hit about some of the misconceptions in technology, right? And that's why it was very cathartic for me to be able to go like, hey, everyone thinks it's easy and everyone thinks that you can just knock things out. But I really enjoyed our back and forth of how, like, you know, it's sometimes harder than you think. And, you know, it's just because we want to eliminate 20 steps. We kept having the 20 step problems. Hey, but if we can eliminate just steps 1 and 2, that will help. And also thinking about how technology can augment human capability. So technology is not meant to replace. It's meant to say, where can we assist where it needs it? But you're still going to need the power of adjusters really being interacting with the system. So I really enjoyed the conversation. And again, like I said, as re-listened to it, even with my own voice, it took a lot of takeaways and a lot of good tech ideas spawned from that. So really enjoyed the conversation.
Yeah. And I think, you know, you both hit on really important parts of that episode that I thought were great. You know, Sam mentioning, you know, sharing it with the staff. It, you know, one of the things that's hard when you're working with technology is we're both speaking different languages. You know, our claims folks know claims and our technology folks know technology, and what we want and the languages we speak don't always line up. So anything that helps bridge that gap is a big deal. I also thought it was a great example, even though my computer failed and actually that laptop died altogether. I had to get a new one shortly after that. But the show went on, like we move on. And I think that's a good analogy of even when we're in claims and we're working on things, sometimes the systems fail or something goes wrong, but people still need to have their claims handled. People still need to get paid for while they're off work. People need their medical taken care of and authorized. So even when those things happen, we still have to keep trucking and moving forward. And that led us to a discussion that Mike and I had on eMods, which, being a claims guy, was a dangerous topic to try to pick, but I brought in our vice president of underwriting, and I brought in Mike, who has some exposure now on the other side of the fence. And so, Mike, what were your takeaways from this one? This was a little ambitious for something that's been more focused on claims.
Yeah, you gave me eMods, and I think last season you gave me like data and analytics, and I was like, no one's going to listen to either one of these. This is pretty cool.
Not true. I was listening.
There you go. I like it. I thought the interesting part about the conversation was more around, like, we centered it more on what insureds and what everybody can do, and realizing that insureds have way more say in what their eMod does than they think they may do. And while you have claims folks, you have your insurance carriers, and you have risk management programs and everything else, if you don't want to put the effort in to actually implement what's being asked of you, it's not going to matter, right? So we talked a lot about effort and intentionality, and people that put in the effort and want to do better and have a culture that starts at the top that allows them to funnel that to their employees of safety and return to work and all the things we talk about. That's when eMods can be affected, and that's when they can go down, and people either buy into it or they don't. So I liked how the conversation surrounded around it was more in the hands of the insureds than I think sometimes they give themselves credit for. I don't know what you thought, Greg, but that's what I took away from it.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's a confusing topic. And sometimes our insureds, when they don't understand their EMODs, they make decisions that are probably the wrong decisions because they don't understand. They think about it one way without understanding how their choices to not report something or pay something out of pocket might actually be hurting them and not having the impact that they thought. Well, I'm interested because you mentioned this. I know you work a lot with onboarding insureds. What stood out to you on that topic? You spoke up and said you definitely listened to it and thought it was helpful.
I did. I think that was the one that was the most impactful for me. To your point, I contact new and renewed policyholders and they don't understand that completely. Who does, really, right? I don't understand that completely and neither do they. But Dustin broke it down in a very understandable way for them to not be scared. One of the most common misconceptions is they're nervous to report a report-only claim, thinking that that will affect their EMOD. And he addressed that and, you know, answered their questions. If they're willing to listen, it's there for them to understand that better. So that was huge for me. And I've, in my phone calls with them, I've referred to the podcast if that's something that they want to learn more about, and also then a way to contact Dustin if they have additional questions.
And Luella, you make a good point, and Greg, you make a good point. I think, you know, wanting to not report claims, wanting to pay out of pocket to save an indemnity claim, wanting to do these little things, you're trying to fight a symptom versus finding the root cause. And so the root cause is all the things we talked about, having a safe workplace, having a culture that allows people to report claims timely and get back to work and do all the things you need to do. And so I think that should be everybody's focus, is not just, okay, this one claim is going to matter, but what is our overall performance and how are we handling this as a group and how do we handle this as an insurer to make sure that we set ourselves up for the most success. So,
yeah. And we all want to control costs. We want to control costs. The policyholder wants to control costs. But if you're doing that with not correct information, right, as to why you're doing something, then that's why we needed to talk about this. I was super thankful for Dustin and his expertise in that area.
Yeah, and that's one that we had not tackled in the past because it is a little bit challenging. So I appreciate having everybody involved on that one to break it down and make it a little easier to consume. So Luella, let's talk about your episode. This is one that's near and dear to my heart as I really enjoy watching people develop. We did an episode on internships and where they can fit in an organization. And we had the opportunity to hear that from the perspective of a current intern, one that had been an intern and is now an associate for us. And then your perspective leading that team that is made up of a lot of interns. So what were some of your takeaways from that?
I think overall, to your point of it being something important that we can offer, is it's a win-win situation where they get an opportunity to come in and see more details about the insurance industry. Is that a fit for them? And then we get an opportunity to develop them. It's very rewarding overall. And I love, you know, offering that for them. We've had lots of wins at Berkeley Industrial Comp in doing this, and I'm super proud of that. And we have so many different opportunities for them in different departments that we can expose them to that while they're here and see if that's something that they're interested on staying on and then moving over into those departments.
Yeah, I love that. And I think it's one of the things that sometimes our competition or some people in the industry might forget about is we have an open position, we post it, we interview them, we meet them for a few hours, and then we make a decision and we hope that this new college hire is the right fit for that position. Sure. But sometimes it could be a square peg in a round hole. And the internship program really it goes both ways. It allows us to see where they fit in our organization. And it also allows them to explore some of the interests that they have, which has been a huge win-win for us. We went on to continuing education and Mike was there with this one. This is actually a topic that's near and dear to my heart because I really feel like we always need to be learning. And sometimes I think we get stuck with the idea, like I've seen this, we've got some students that are coming out of college with MBAs and they haven't had any work experience, where I think continuing education is more than just getting an MBA or getting some other degree. That can be one of the things, but there were so many things we tackled in this topic that I felt like were really important. Mike, what stood out to you?
How much I love Bob. He's the man. He's very, this goes back to like, is podcasting hard? Like, that guy is so easy to talk to. It makes it feel like a conversation. So I really enjoy talking to him. But I think you hit on the big point for me. You know, there's so many great designations out there, and there's MBAs and there's CBCUs and AICs and all that stuff. But like, it's as simple as like, hey, I want to learn more about what I'm doing in my job, or hey, I want to know more about what underwriting is doing, or hey, I'm interested in maybe going into risk management, so let me talk to them. And it's little things that count as continuing education. It's not just getting a designation or a degree or a master's or what have you. It's as simple as like asking questions in your daily job or wanting to learn more about claims investigation or EMODs or whatever the case may be. It's listening to a podcast, right? So
yep.
If you do a podcast on EMODs and you learn something from that, it's continuing education. And so I think it was good just to break down the misnomer that like continuing education has to be this huge thing where you do a lot of studying and you have tests and everything else, because it's just not accurate. What did you think?
I agree. And for me, I agree with you on Bob. It's always fun to talk to him, and we've gotten to be friends over the years, and he knows a lot about the industry. So that makes him a good one to talk about this. But yeah, I think that was the big thing that's been my takeaway is I'm always impressed with people who see a problem and don't know the answer to it. And so they teach themselves, whatever that is. Our actuary here before he came to work for us saw that there was a need to understand data better and taught himself Power BI. How did he do it? He watched YouTube videos. He literally watched YouTube videos and taught himself how to do it. So I think that's an extreme example, but it's just taking the initiative to recognize the areas that you can improve on, whether that's a designation or reading a book or listening to a podcast, you know, all those things count. And that's really what makes us better in the long run is to constantly be doing that. So that one's one of my favorite topics. And that took us from there. We went to digital transformation. And this was one of the times that I brought in Sam, because I felt like if we're going to talk about digital transformation, I'm not a technology expert. Let's bring in somebody from our tech company to help me with this. And we had the chance to visit with Emma, who I had met the year before at Connected Claims, which is a tech claims conference that happens once a year. Sam, what was your experience in that topic talking to Emma?
Yeah, it was a really good conversation with Emma, Greg, and I appreciated it again. And getting her background just to begin, where she said, again, I think the quote was her family had an intervention saying she needed to go from sales, but again, from the idea of partnerships within the tech community was key. Usually we're the recipients of these types of conversations, but I think we had a really good conversation about picking the right partner. And it seems easy. Oh, choose the best one, right? But there's so much nuance and so much levels to that that you can't just brush it off. Whether you think the organization would have a lot of tools and a lot of vendor management, but the best of breed, or a single stop shop, one stop shop, and just be able to go to a single point of contact and handling a lot of things. So I appreciated her insights into some of the considerations when choosing a vendor. And then for the other end of the spectrum, aside from just technology partnerships, is how you're working with your people. We mentioned this a little bit when we were talking about adjusters, but she really hit on the idea of a people-first approach. And think about, instead of just this is a cool tool or the technology can send APIs back and forth, or you know, insert jargon or alphabet soup, but how is this actually impacting people and the adjusters on the tail end? What is the actual interactions they'll have? How will they experience? How will this impact change? So taking that people-first approach instead of just looking at what the tool can do is what sustains a business and really provides the value that you need. So I took those takeaways. Greg, did you have anything else that stood out? Because I love the conversation. I was just jotting down notes left and right.
She was a lot of fun to talk to. And she was the moderator at one of the panels that I was on. So I knew she would be just fine. But one of the things I liked, along with the things you've already mentioned, was just her focus on change management. And like, you can have the best technology or this great idea, but if you can't get people to adopt it and you can't get them to get on board, then it won't have the impact it could. And I thought that was great, is that sometimes we need to focus on the right partners. We need to focus on the right technology, but we also need to focus on getting everybody on board with it and helping them see the value in it. Because if we don't do that, then we've spent money on something that's not getting utilized.
Yeah.
So
if a tree falls in the forest, or if a technology tool falls in a forest and no one's there to actually use it, does the technology solution even exist? Right. So,
right. Great. So I thought that was one was a lot of fun. And then that led us to the power of listing. And this is one I did with Matt. And it was sort of a dream podcast for me, because I read this author's book 8, 10 years ago, something like that, and really changed the way I tried to communicate. So I kind of threw a dart out there, hoping that maybe it would land and he'd say yes. And sure enough, we had the opportunity to meet with him on this topic. Matt, what was your thoughts on this one?
I mean, I think as we've been talking about just, you know, investigation and technology and all these different things that are coming, like if we're not listening, if we're not doing the continuing ed piece and listening to that and hearing the messages, you know, then I think, you know, Tim Hass did a great job of kind of saying, like, you know, we have two ears and one mouth. We need to listen more and be quiet. We need to ingest the information. We need to learn and grow, you know, and I think, you know, it kind of hits, you know, it's not necessarily a work comp topic, right? But I think it hits all the things we've been talking about with all the guests and different things. Like, you know, we always have to be continually getting better. And I think, you know, we need to all become better listeners, you know, as technology changes the industry. You know, we need to be better listeners. And how do you do that? You know, so I think that the podcast was really great. I think it was a great interview. I had a great time learning from him. This is probably one of the ones where, like, I like to go back and, or go, when you give me the, who we're going to talk to, I like to go and say, oh, you know, let's learn a little bit about this person. And, you know, I think he was surprised. I actually went back and I found his book and I did a quick read of it before the interview. And it was a great interview, a great discussion. He had so much information, very, you know, innovative on the topic and just listening to it. So, I mean, a lot of different great insights on that interview, very informative, a lot of information jam packed into, you know, 45 minute interview with him. But I thought it was really impressive. I think we all need to kind of sit down and just become better listeners. And you know, he did a great job. So, and I think he's being recognized. I think he's going to be at the National Work Comp and Disability Conference, if I'm correct, right? Are you with him in that panel, Greg? Or is...
I might be. I'm going to have to go back and check. So I guess I hadn't heard that, but that's amazing. The thing that I really enjoyed that I guess I'd forgotten was his whole concept of HALT, that if you're hungry, yeah, angry, lonely, or tired, it's not a good time to communicate. And I think, like, right, I know that, but, like, it's easy to forget it. And so a lot of times when things aren't going well, and we think about our injured workers, a lot of the time they're one of those categories when they're going through an injury. So just remembering, like, slowing down and realizing that there might be some friction if we're trying to communicate something important while somebody's going through that was like a, that was a good reminder to me.
Exactly.
Then we went from that topic to another form of communication, and this was with Suzanne, which was texting in claims. And so this was something that I know some carriers are using. I don't know if it's universally accepted yet, but it is coming. And a lot of carriers are taking advantage of texting in claims. And I brought Suzanne in because her operating unit is one of the operating units that was piloting texting and claims for us. So this was a good one to bring Suzanne in to help co-host. Suzanne, what were your thoughts on this episode?
Well, first of all, I thought Stephanie Benke with Hi Marley was just absolutely fantastic. A lot of energy, a lot of passion surrounding their product and what all Hi Marley can offer. You know, kind of to piggyback off what Matt was just saying, communication with injured workers is so crucial. At the end of the day, we're in the business of service and being communicators. And Hi Marley just really gives us that opportunity to reach our injured workers, reach our insureds, claimants in a way that they quote unquote do in real life. People text now. It's just the way people communicate. We're so much more apt to get a response to a text than we are to get a response to an email or a voicemail message left if the voicemail hopefully is set up or isn't full when we're trying to reach somebody. So anything we can do in our world that can help speed up communication and make the interaction better for us and for our injured workers helps at the end of the day resolve claims, get better outcomes, get people the information they need for appointments and anything that they need to help facilitate their workers' compensation claim. It's just, it's been a pleasure working in the platform with High Marley. They've been a great partner for us. And I'm just excited to see where the texting world takes us as far as really increasing efficiencies.
I couldn't agree more. And I'm really excited. We're at that point now where we're getting an opportunity to pilot and get involved with texting. And I really feel like it can be game changing. And Stephanie was great too. And just her mindset, you could tell that the experience that people have is really important to them. And I feel like when we think about workers' compensation, a lot of times where things go sideways is when somebody is frustrated or doesn't understand something. And anything we can do to avoid those situations will result in better outcomes for them and for us, for everyone. So I'm excited about where this could take us. And it was fun doing this. And Suzanne's always fun, you know, and I mentioned this before, I have to mention it, is so when I was trained in the industry, when I first came out of college, my trainer was very tough on me, but it's very, very good. And I look back at a lot of the skills I learned, and it was because she was very demanding, very structured, very disciplined, and didn't expect anything but the very best out of me. And if I didn't show up with that, I got corrected quickly. And I'm still friends with her today. And later on, like this last year or so, she had stepped into a new role. And I saw Suzanne comment, like, congratulations. I'm like, Suzanne, how do you know her? And it turns out Suzanne actually trained my trainer. So crazy world. When I first met Suzanne, I thought, boy, she thinks the way I think. And I thought, like, I didn't realize it's because I basically was trained by her through Andrea. So anyway, yes, small
and
world.
And he very affectionately referred to me as his workers' compensation grandmother.
That's right. She's my work comp grandma. Always will be. So anyway, I enjoyed that. That was a lot of fun. And I just appreciate all of you guys. I know this is a lot of extra work for everybody involved. Each of you guys sacrifice time out of your normal jobs to help with this kind of thing. And I do believe we're making a difference and we're putting things out there that will be tools that people can use in the future. And I think also it makes our own operating units better as we explore ideas that maybe we haven't set aside time to do it. And this kind of gives us an opportunity to learn some things that are going on there. Any final thoughts as we wrap things up for this episode?
I think since Mike and I started at the same company as you did, I think Suzanne's also our training grandmother as well. So I may have actually been in one of your training classes back in 2002, Suzanne, down in Tampa, if that's where you were back then. But
oh my goodness. In a small world, this insurance business.
I would never call Suzanne a grandma because I work with her on a daily basis. And that's just mean.
Yeah. So I just wanted to make her go red. People can't see. That's one of the joys of we do these via Zoom, so we can't see each other. But I've really enjoyed this season and the guests you keep raising the bar. And I think we have some guests lined up for next year that are continue to raise the bar. Some guests coming back to do another round. So I'm looking forward to it and always enjoy these. Thanks, Greg.
No problem, Matt.
For me, Greg, as being both an interviewee and a fan, who knew that so many different topics came into play in workers' compensation, right? You can, from one to the next, totally different topics, but it's so wonderful that, you know, cover all of these things and for people to understand exactly what goes into our day-to-day lives.
I know it's hard to believe that we'll be going into season 6 and we've had enough content to continue to do that. So it is sometimes I wonder when will we run out, but so far so good. So far so good.
Yeah. Building off of that, one thing I'd take away from these types of wonderful discussions and something I've tried to apply is talk to people outside of your tech stack or your org. Right. Try to talk to people of different roles within your insurance organizations. Talk to policy people. Talk to the sales side. Talk to the tech folks, the IT people buried in the basement somewhere, barely seeing the light of day. Right. Go take them to lunch. Right. Learn about things from eMods to claims investigations. I found just small conversations and also listening to the Adjusted podcast, which is your first place to go for all of these things. But encouraging just like we're having this conversation from a variety of different perspectives. That's been my takeaways. Do the same thing when I'm in office. So again, I work remote, but whenever I'm in office, I'm taking somebody to lunch. I'm taking somebody to coffee. I'm overpaying for Starbucks just to get a little bit of idea into their world, because that helps all of us be better, well-rounded insurance professionals. So that's why. But again, first listen to Adjusted first. That's your first step, and then everything else. So
great, great, great points.
My only takeaway is that Matt Yaling read an entire book for a one-hour podcast.
That's commitment.
Now that's I know commitment. He's your favorite co-host, Greg, because he reads entire books before coming into a one-hour podcast. Good
overachiever,
job.
Overachiever, right?
Hey, I would recommend Tim's book to anybody, and he says he's coming out with volume two, so I'm hoping I get a pre-copy of that one, so it's a good one.
You're just continuing your education, buddy. I appreciate you listening to my podcast.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate all you guys. I know a lot of people put time and effort into this, like, you know, Mike was teasing Matt about, you know, whether it's reading a book or setting aside the time or working on the outline or editing in the background. There's a lot of work that goes into what we put out there, and just appreciate everybody and just remind everybody about our theme to do right, think differently, and don't forget to care. And that's it for season 5. And we'll see you on season 6 soon. Thanks, everybody.